98DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.
It does feel helpless when you're watching it burn and there's just nothing you can do.
Mark McMillan, one of the neighborhoods badly damaged by wildfires in Los Angeles. He's in Pacific Palisades, one of several fire areas. Los Angeles Fire Chief Kristen Crowley says people hosing down their own homes and not evacuating are putting a strain on the water supply in the region.
Our firefighters need every single ounce of water that's out there to help supply our fire hoses. So with that, we need the community to understand that when they're using water or overuse of water during active incident, that could hamper our ability to utilize the water resource that we need to put the fire out.
The fire is destroying 2,000 structures, including the homes of many Hollywood celebrities. President Biden skipping a trip to Italy and a meeting with the Pope to handle federal response to the fires. Today, the president will deliver a eulogy at the National Funeral Service for former President Jimmy Carter. This is ABC News. Some questions now about a phone call between Donald Trump and Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito as Trump asks the high court to stop the sentencing in his New York hush money case. Here's ABC's Jonathan Carl.
Alito says they didn't talk about any other matter that could potentially come before the court or any of the Supreme Court's previous decisions that might be of interest to Donald Trump. But look, this was a conversation between the president-elect and a Supreme Court justice that happened literally within hours of the president-elect filing an emergency application with the Supreme Court.
Alito says the call was about one of his old law clerks. Lawmakers in South Korea today introducing a bill calling for an independent investigation into impeached President Yoon Suk-yeol. And unveiled at CES, the big tech show in Las Vegas, Aria, a new AI-powered robot that kind of looks human. The price tag? $175,000. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Here's to a Wisconsin winter you will always remember. To playing outdoors in a winter wonderland. Here's to cozying up around the fire and holding someone close. And to staying downtown, where the food scene makes your heart sing. And to celebrating moments frozen in time. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Bucks kicked the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a dominating 121-105 victory over the San Antonio Spurs. Doc Rivers on how he thought his team played defensively.
I loved it. I told him that at halftime, it's like, guys, back-to-back games, our defensive focus and attention to detail was on point. And when we play like that, we're really tough. Because if we get multiple misses, we're going to eventually make threes.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers, will try to extend their four-game winning streak when they host the Minnesota Gophers. That's tomorrow night, 6 p.m. at the Kohl Center in Madison. NFL, Packers holding practice, getting ready to face the Eagles. Sunday afternoon at 3:30, Jaden Reed says it's too soon for the Packers season to be over just yet.
We ain't worked this hard to come this far. You know, we went through a lot, you know, in camp, through the season to even get here. So our mindset is on one goal, and, you know, that's how we're preparing this week.
That's Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The effect of the fires in Los Angeles have been devastating. The ultimate impact on the entertainment business remains to be seen, but two notable premieres were canceled due to the fires, including Universal's Wolfman, which was scheduled to have its premiere at the TCL Chinese Theater Tuesday night. Jennifer Lopez's Unstoppable premiere was also canceled Tuesday night. There is no word on whether or not the events will be rescheduled. Wolfman is set to hit theaters on Martin Luther King Day weekend. Matthew Perry has managed to stay in the news fairly often following his mysterious death in 2023. His friend's colleague, Lisa Kudrow, made news the other day when she appeared on The Drew Barrymore Show and told Barrymore that Perry gave her the famous Friends cookie jar from the set as a parting gift after the last episode. Kudrow added that Perry left a note in the cookie jar that she only recently discovered after his death. It is unclear why Kudrow checked the cookie jar after all these years. Maybe a serious case of the munchies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a little light snow developing by later this afternoon. Our high right around 25. More light snow tonight. Overall, we're looking at a dusting at best. Not going to be a lot of snow. 17 our low tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy 24 with more light snow on the way by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 11.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, will discuss the president-elect's appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And will AG Merrick Garland release Jack Smith's J6 report unredacted? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Thursday morning, January 9th, 2025, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app or by podcast or watching us on Facebook or YouTube, we appreciate you starting your Thursday morning right here. I got a question for you. Can I, here on the radio, recommend a TV show to you? And I'm only bringing this up because we just finished streaming this particular series. And I'm reminded of it because this morning, instead of my usual coffee mug, I reached for the Roy Kent one, where Roy Kent is just looking at you going, oi. I think that, Greg, did I do that right? Give me the Roy Kent oi from Ted Lasso.
Oi!
There it is. So there he is. That's Brett Goldstein on my mug. Close personal friend of Greg Bach. And he has a role in the Apple TV series Shrinking, with Jason Segel, Harrison Ford, Krista Miller, many others. And Sherry and I just finished the second season of it, and it is just a brilliant show. It's just brilliant. It is a comedy, but with lots of drama. It's written by Bill Lawrence, who I know best from Scrubs,
and Ted Lasso.
And so, yeah, when I saw the Roy Kent mug this morning, I was like, I should mention that, you know, recommend a show to folks, because we were really floundering looking for a new show to watch. And finally, we, you know, came upon Shrinking. And, you know, the first episode or two are kind of rough because it begins with the central character going through a major crisis. But then the show settles down and it's just fabulous. So I just wanted to get that out before I forget. So there's my recommendation. Mr. Bach, how are you this morning?
I'm doing peachy keen. You know, it was one when I got in. It's now 7. So,
oh, yes.
I mean, life is just handing me roses and diamonds.
Or single digits with the hope of someday seeing double digits. Yeah. It is 11 here in Chippewa, 12 in Hayward, 12 in Amory. Wausau's at 5. La Crosse 14, Wisconsin Rapids 7, Green Bay's at 8, Madison 12, Waukesha 7, and yes, you're the cold spot in Civic Media Land. 4 degrees at Radio Park officially at Racine, and you said 7 there at the station?
Indeed.
Wow.
Indeed.
That's a little weird where you guys are the cool spot.
I know. I know true suffering right now.
I was going to say, try to accept your coolness. Try to live in the cool. You can join us along the way here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use the Civic Media app to call the show or text the show. And, of course, you can put comments on Facebook or YouTube. Email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com, and our website, upnorthnewswi.com, is where you'll find Up North News from Courier Newsroom, a separate entity from Civic Media, but we are so thrilled to be part of the Civic Media team. Coming up on the program this morning, it's Thursday, so we will talk to Joe Zepecki about the new session of the Wisconsin legislature getting underway and some of the issues that they're tackling. And then we're going to talk to Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner in our second hour. And she has written a column pointing out that state Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel, Scott Walker's former attorney general, had some eye-catching things to say about the mob from January 6th that led to violence and the deaths of law enforcement officers and the near overthrow and assassination of members of the United States government. But apparently he thinks they deserve some kind of special treatment compared to what they got, which is what everybody else gets, is their day in court. So we'll talk to Ruth Conniff about that. Then at 7:30, back to the legislature with two legislators themselves, including the Assembly Democratic leader, Representative Greta Neubauer. She will be joining us, as will brand new state Senator Sarah Kieske. So both Senator Kieske and Representative Neubauer will be here, as will Luke Mathers as well. So much to cover on this very busy Thursday morning. And I'm going to start right out of the gate. We'll just keep the ball rolling on what they're talking about in the legislature here, because let's back up for a minute and remind you that the session began on Monday. Now, the biggest thing that will happen in a legislative session is passing a state budget. That budget bill is huge. It covers all kinds of areas, lists out your priorities. So from now until that happens in the next month, two, three, you know, most of the material will be kind of smaller, unless there's something big you want to come out of the gate with. And there's nothing wrong with coming out of the gate with something that's rather either bipartisan or just a really big priority of yours. It really shows where your heart is based on what you introduce first, that first bill, that first floor debate, that first committee hearing. So what did Republicans do in controlling the Assembly and the Senate? Did they work on health care? Did they work on gun safety? Did they work on fixing the inequity between public school funding and private voucher schools? Did they do anything about employment or the cost of eggs? No, none of those things. On day one, as the members had been sworn in and the families were there and they were, just everything was looking good and positive for a new session, Republicans put up a notice that there would be a committee hearing on day two, on Tuesday, with a floor session on day three, which was yesterday. And it was going to be about another amendment to the state constitution so that they could get around Governor Evers and his veto and put up a referendum that would put into the constitution the requirement for voter ID. Now, voter ID, as I discussed with Todd Alba on his show yesterday, you know, it has its pros and cons in the argument. Are you securing that only actual voters can vote and that there isn't a problem with fraud or identity theft? That certainly seems to make sense, except there isn't any. There has not ever been substantial fraud because much like, you know, nobody checks your mail before you stick it in the mailbox to make sure that you're not committing mail fraud. But if you commit mail fraud, you face a big penalty. Similarly, for years and years and years, you'd vote. You'd say who you are. You'd vote. If it was discovered that you were committing voter fraud, there were penalties to be paid. Things were working. But if you can try to get a whole bunch of people to not vote, people who typically don't vote for you, well, maybe you come up with ways to do that. And Todd Alba knows about this firsthand. Todd Alba was literally in the room when it happened as a staffer for legislative Republicans on that fateful session more than a decade ago now. where Republicans put voter ID in place expressly to suppress the votes of people who typically vote Democratic, people who may not drive, so they don't have a driver's license, people who may live in poorer neighborhoods, they can't afford a car, they can't afford to jump through the hoops to get a license. But they're also hurting the very old who can't get to birth certificates, and people in rural areas who can't get to a DMV office because there isn't one close by. They didn't care. They said as much in the room that they were interested in suppressing votes. And Todd Alba actually testified in court about that. And you're going to hear that referenced in this first soundbite from yesterday when a Senate committee, or I'm sorry, on the Senate floor, they talked about this, both on committee and in the floor. And this is Madison Senator Kelda Royce saying to her Republican colleagues, this is what you're doing first, right out of the gate.
It's really disappointing to see the misplaced priorities of the majority party that in the wake of the incredible tragedy in my district at a school just a few weeks ago, that we're making it harder to vote than it is to buy a gun in this country. The right to vote is fundamental, and we should be looking for ways to make it easier and less complicated so that more people can participate. What this bill does is it puts into the Constitution a discriminatory law that was in its purpose and in its conception intended to suppress votes of groups that were not favored by the Republicans in the majority at that time. That's not my conjecture. That's not liberal publications. That is sworn testimony in court from Republicans who were in the room when the initial voter ID law was passed, that they were giddy and frothing at the mouth at the prospect of Democrats being unable to win because Democratic voters would be disproportionately affected.
Again, not conjecture. Nobody's jumping to conclusions. That's what Republican lawmakers actually said when they didn't think anybody would tell people outside the room what they were talking about. In this next clip, which would be from, again, a committee hearing, you're going to hear from Representative Pat Snyder, one of the co-sponsors, I believe, of the measure. He was being questioned by Democratic Representative Lee Snodgrass, saying, you know, where is this coming from? Again, where are your priorities when there really isn't an issue? Listen to what Pat Snyder says, and then you'll hear some of what Representative Snodgrass says, but I'm going to tell you what I think should be said instead. Let's hear from Representatives Snyder and Snodgrass.
There has not been a significant increase or reduction in voter fraud. So,
well, then, you know, the integrity, the voter confidence is down. Voter confidence is down.
Yeah.
And why would that be? Because of all the things that happened in 2016 and 2020, I mean, people don't have confidence.
Well, I would argue that some of the lack of confidence is because there have been people essentially sharing false information about voter fraud.
There. So there's how Lee Snodgrass very politely responded. Start it again. Let's hear Pat Snyder, and then I'm going to jump in with what I would have said if I were on that panel. Can you hit that again?
There has not been a significant increase or reduction in voter fraud. So,
well, then, you know, the integrity, the voter confidence is down. Voter confidence is down.
Yeah.
Because
and
of you.
Why would that be? Because of all the things that happened in 2016 and 2020.
No, I mean, stop right there, Pat Snyder. Nothing happened in 2016 and 2020 except you and others lying about it. You undermined confidence in elections. It wasn't fraud that was doing it. And that's why you're pushing forward on this bill. We'll talk more about it and have a little sports on the other side of this break, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyezervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Eyezervay.
Eyezervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Eyezervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Eyezervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Eyezervay today.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Eyezervay.com. That's Eyezervay.com.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
I admit, it's a little early for this. But is it, though? It's Greg Air drums. It was on this day in 1984 that Van Halen released their sixth album, conveniently called 1984. Hits included Jump, I'll Wait, Panama, and, of course, Eddie Van Halen on Hot for Teacher.
It has one of my favorite lyrics ever in this song, actually.
What would it be?
Where he just says, I don't feel tardy.
So if you need something more than what the coffee's providing, then pop this on at some point today and celebrate that Van Halen's 1984 came out. Oh my God, 31 years ago.
No, today. 31. No, 41.
41 years ago today.
I was gonna say, and that marked the last. Well, no, because they recorded new material later on. But the David Lee Roth for yep. decades last appearance with the band.
Yes.
Sorry about that, Pat. One.
Sorry, no, that was exactly the way to do it. Like, no, Pat, do the math. Do the math. The math wasn't math in there for a minute. Now it is. Let's check a little sports at 6:23. The Bucks beat the Spurs last night 121-105. Damian Lillard had 26 points. Giannis had 25 plus 16 rebounds. Brooke Lopez 22. The Bucks won their second in a row after losing four of the previous five. They play again tomorrow night in Orlando. The there was one other game last night. That would be Marquette women's basketball. They're now 10-5 on the season after a loss last night at Creighton, 71-65. They will next play at home Saturday afternoon, hosting Villanova. The Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team will be playing the Minnesota Golden Gophers tomorrow. Coverage begins at 5 o'clock on Civic Media stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center, and on the Civic Media app as well. The Packers, of course, play Sunday, a wild card playoff game in Philadelphia against the Eagles. Pregame Sunday at 1 o'clock on Civic Media stations in Kenosha, Richland Center, and Park Falls. The Badger women's hockey team ranked number one in the country. They will be at home against Minnesota State Saturday and Sunday. Those games are already sold out. The Badger men's hockey team is at home this weekend against LIU, and the 7th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team is off until next Tuesday when they travel to DePaul. You can sign up for our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and learn more about some of the stories that Christina Lori has put in, including one about what she calls judgment-free running clubs. If you want to get fit, there are these running clubs where I'm not going to say they look like beer commercials. They're not quite. Maybe they are that informal. You know, they're just not. There's no judgment. Christina says it perfectly in the newsletter. And by the way, there's also ways there that by being part of a fitness program can help reduce healthcare costs, as can being on the Affordable Care Act. And the latest numbers are in from Affordable Care Act signups on the marketplace exchanges, and a record 24 million Americans now have healthcare coverage that they can afford thanks to the Affordable Care Act. And that includes a record 306,000 people in Wisconsin. And thanks to tax credits from the Inflation Reduction Act, it has lowered premium costs to the point where 80% of people can find a health plan through the marketplace for $10 a month or less. So it's less about corporate profits for healthcare companies and more about stable, affordable healthcare coverage for you. So again, learn more about your health in our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. A reminder that today is the state funeral for former President Jimmy Carter. It's actually getting underway in just a couple of hours here. It is a day of mourning, as declared by President Biden, for the federal government. In keeping with tradition, there will not be mail delivery today. Post offices will be closed. Most federal government offices will be closed. That is not the same case for state and local offices. You'll find a lot of them to be open. A lot of banks will still be open. It's not the same as a federal holiday where things close up, but as a federal day of mourning, you won't see mail delivery and some other government offices being open. Let's get back to covering what was in the legislature, and then we'll have Joe Zepecki on in a few minutes to talk about it. But I wanted to play one more soundbite from the Senate floor debate yesterday about it. And Senator Jeff Smith from the Chippewa Valley points out here to his colleagues again that, yes, why are we here? Why on day one did you announce a committee hearing on day two, and that you're going to ram this thing through right away on day three to put up a constitutional amendment to enshrine voter ID, which, in the words of other senators, it's like it's nothing more than a modern day poll tax. Jeff Smith really calls them out on what they could have been working on instead.
And your supermajority was undone by competitive maps, more fair maps. Gerrymandering has unraveled, and this is the one thing you're still hanging on to help you hang on to power. That's what this is about. Now, you've had 2 months to come up with a plan to try to keep that majority, Madam President, and one thing that Democrats did that maybe you might want to consider is listening to voters and doing what they want us to do. Instead, Madam President, the best thing your caucus seems to be able to come up with is to enshrine voter disenfranchisement in the state constitution on day three, the first thing that we're here to talk about. And I would suggest, instead of pointing fingers about PFAS contamination, for instance, on day three, we could be making sure people have clean drinking water. Or, as your party has witnessed repeatedly now, restoring reproductive freedoms would be an appropriate day three task. It's what people are asking for. Better yet, as you've heard already, on the heels of a school shooting, Madam President, we could be here on day three addressing common sense firearm legislation or refunding the Office of School Safety after you defunded it last budget. And Madam President, your party could have used this rush to deny people their rights to vote and actually do what voters want us to do.
They'd have done well, Republicans would have, to listen more to State Senator Jeff Smith. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki coming up next. This is Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Oh, plenty of meetings for Wisconsin farmers to attend this year. And while you're out there, keep your eyes open for our new University Extension corn specialist. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Of course, in 2024, we saw the retirement of UW Extension corn specialist Dr. Joel Lauer. Now, stepping in is Dr. Harit Kaur. She is originally from Northwest India, where she grew up in a small village called India's Breadbasket. Most recently, she was a Michigan State Spartan, but now she's happy to be the University Extension corn specialist in Wisconsin because she believes a lot of Wisconsin farmers appreciate one element she's fond of.
One thing that I would really like to appreciate about Wisconsin is when I was in Michigan and I used to talk about silage corn, people weren't really very interested because they were more of a corn grain per people. And would hear when people get to know that I worked on silage corn, they get really excited, and which is something I enjoy.
Dr. Harit Kaur, coming to Wisconsin from Michigan. She is our new University Extension corn specialist. You'll have an opportunity to meet Dr. Kaur if you're in attendance at the upcoming Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo. That's going to be February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. All right, markets and overnight electronic trade, they're mixed this morning. I've got numbers next.
Did you know you can build a water and nutrient superhighway in your soil? You just need the Maximum Acre solution from Sound Agriculture. The easiest way to maximize your crop's access to nutrients all season long. How does it work? First, Source turns your soil into a nutrient factory, activating microbes that supply nitrogen, phosphorus, and micronutrients. Then Blueprint builds the delivery network. It provides a beneficial fungi called AMF, a powerful biological partner that plants rely on for macronutrients, micronutrients, and water. When used with Source, Blueprint expands the crop's reach beyond the roots, helping it access nutrients and water when they're needed most. For the Maximum Acre solution that leads to bigger, healthier, and more productive plants, Source it with Blueprint. Talk to your dealer or visit sound.ag.
Yesterday, barrel cheese gained 0.75 cents to 187. 40-pound block cheese stood still. The AA butter was up 2 at 260 a pound. December new crop corn's down a penny this morning at 444. November beans are down a nickel at 1003. July wheat, that's up 2 at 559 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Thursday trade session. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a little light snow developing by later this afternoon. Our high right around 25. More light snow tonight. Overall, we're looking at a dusting at best. Not going to be a lot of snow. 17 our low tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy 24 with more light snow on the way by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 11.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our one-year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. We'll talk about starting the new year off right with Omar the Pharmacist, and then we will talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion with attorney Roy Evans.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Back on Up North News Radio on this Thursday. Again, a busy day ahead of us. Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner is on the way. Assembly Democratic Leader Greta Neubauer and new State Senator Sarah Kieski all coming, along with Brittany Merlot's weekend forecast for you as well. But, of course, first, coming up on 6:35 here, here's Joe Zepecki. Joe, good morning. How are you?
That's an all-star lineup. What the hell do you need me for?
I know. Well, you're kind of first shift. You know, you kind of set the table and set the standard here. So I want to start with your thoughts on when we talk about misplaced priorities. Look, the election's done, so anything I say is going to sound like sour grapes or spilled milk or whatever. But I still think it needs to be pointed out that the people who said the price of eggs is too high are working on, it seems like, everything but the kitchen table issues that they promised voters they would work on. We're bashing immigrants. We're bashing trans people. Trump's talking about buying Greenland or invading Greenland and Panama. You've got the legislature monkeying with the Constitution. Again, look, I know you can't go back and change an election, but I feel like it's worth pointing out.
It is absolutely worth pointing out because it reveals the extent to which the Republican MAGA movement has pulled a fast one on voters in Wisconsin and voters across this country. Now, listen, some of those voters knew better than to vote for Trump, but some of them didn't. And that's not their fault. It's the fault of the MAGA politicians who knew better and enabled Donald Trump anyways. It's the fault of those Republican leaders and voters who knew better but went along anyways. And it's one of the ways in which we can rebuild the credibility of those on the left. When we say this is what we're talking about, they're selling you a bill of goods and telling you what you want to hear at election time. And then when they actually get into power or get closer to power, they're not actually delivering for you, the people who voted for them. So, maybe there's some way in which renaming the Gulf of Mexico will magically cure the ills of inflation in this country, but I doubt it. And so, these are not serious folks. And we jumped up and down on the table and we slammed the table and we screamed at the top of our lungs, these people cannot be trusted. And what are we seeing? They couldn't be trusted because they told you one story when they needed your vote. And now they're doing everything they can to distract from the fact that they don't actually have any plan to address the thing that they were talking to you about during the campaign. And so this has been a tough week for me personally. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I didn't expect January 6th on Monday to hit me the way that it did, but it did. The worst people in the world have gotten away with the worst thing that ever happened to this country. And enough Americans didn't care, or didn't care enough, that now we're going to be stuck with this chaos for God knows how long. And so they signed up for the circus and they bought the ticket and they're going to enjoy the ride. The rest of us aren't. And we're going to have to point out where they don't do what they said they were going to, which is make the middle class more attainable. Make sure if you're working poor, you can find your way into the middle class. Like, that's what we ought to be having a conversation about. But instead, we're talking about this nonsense.
Right. And they count on that nonsense. It's the sideshow theory. And, other countries are seeing this and calling it out. I mean, I did have to chuckle that the president of Mexico said they're going to change the name of the U.S. to America Mexicana, moving forward. And yeah, it's silly semantics, but it always has to be, in my mind, followed up with – The reason we're doing the silly semantics in the sideshows is because they got nothing else.
That's right. And they don't understand what actually has made America the envy of the world and made us great. It's the power of our ideals. It is the fact that might does not make right. And just because we could roll tanks over the border into Canada, doesn't mean we don't have to do that. We're strong enough and secure enough that we don't have to do that. But Donald Trump's a bully. He's a, you know, an autocratic minded dotard who are going to have to listen to do these nonsense press conferences like we did earlier this week that 98% of Americans won't watch, won't see, won't care about. What they're going to have to grapple with, what we have to grapple with, is they're so checked out, they don't realize they just put a clown back in the White House who isn't going to do the things that they want done.
Let's reminisce for a moment. We're going to go back in time when a younger Pat Kreitlow was inaugurated into the Wisconsin legislature. And and what a day it was, a day of unified themes of public service and trying to work across the aisle. Only so that we can fast forward to the opening speeches from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Republican Leader Devin LeMahieu with cracks about, you know, failed liberal policies and, you know, government growth to dangerous levels and all these other partisan speeches. It leads me to ask, again, at the risk of romanticizing the past, should we expect anything in the way of non-divisive legislation while we wait for the governor's budget address and for the budget to work its way through, or have Voss and LeMahieu kind of planted their flag and said, well, we're back from a 300-day vacation. We're going to get paid for these next few months, but, you know, don't expect us to actually do anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're going to get the occasional edition of MAGA Mad Libs, which is what that was and is, and it's just totally disconnected from reality. What are they talking about? The greatest expansion of the size of government in the 21st century in America was after 9/11. It's the Department of Homeland Security. It was the security state that swelled. You know who was president when that happened? You know who controlled Congress when that happened? It was Republicans. What are we talking about? There were fewer state employees today than there were when Jim Doyle became governor in 2003. What the hell are they talking about? They have realized that they can get away with just making stuff up. And if they say it over and over again, enough times and enough places to enough people, it doesn't matter that it has no basis in reality and is just, like I said, it's a Mad Lib. Insert thing here about the overreach of government. Never mind that Democrats haven't proposed growing the size of government. Like, they just invent that and then they're off to the races. But it keeps many of their voters, not all of them, but many of their voters just riled up enough, because they don't care that they're being lied to. And that's not great for our long-term prognosis here, folks.
Well, and it has enabled them over these years to simply go their own way, thanks to gerrymandered maps, of course, in doing all kinds of things except the things that 70, 80, 85% of Wisconsinites want. Like gun safety and like reproductive health care rights and things like that. So enter Governor Evers and a proposal this week for citizen initiative and referendum in order to make constitutional amendments. So I ask you, as a strategist, is that a smart move on the governor's part to propose this?
Man, you got to give Tony Evers credit. He won't take no for an answer. And you hear in my voice my frustration with Republicans today. Tony Evers, he's not going to take no for an answer. He's going to find a way to reflect what he has talked about since the day he became governor. The will of the people is the law of the land. He knows that most Wisconsinites want there to be some form of cannabis in this state, whether medical or highly regulated recreational. He knows that people want a higher minimum wage, that people want to invest in our kids and in schools. He knows that people want to expand the piece of the federal pie we bring back home for Medicaid so we can keep rural hospitals open. And we saw one close last year. So we can keep those thousands of people employed and make sure people have a place to go if they get sick or have an accident. And it doesn't matter how many times Robin Voss or Devin LeMahieu or Scott Fitzgerald before that say no, Tony Evers is going to get up in the morning and go, what else can we do? How else can we try and do this? And this is a way to get one step closer to that, and I applaud him for it.
Where does that put you in terms of, I mean, this is almost truly a 50-50 issue in the sense that 26 states allow for initiative and referendum constitutional amendments, and the other roughly half of the states don't. And you have some people saying, well, you know, as a democratic republic, we should just let our elected officials do this, because otherwise you get ballots that are, you know, 20 pages long. But then you certainly have the point being made here that when you have one party with a lot, they're the only ones that have access to the Constitution right now. You have to create that other pathway. So Evers' strategy notwithstanding, what are your own thoughts on state constitutions and public amendments?
It's not my favorite, mm-hmm. candidly, but I understand where the governor is coming from. He wants to get some things done. My only word of caution, and this may very well be a negotiating tactic to get Republicans to work with Democrats on some of these issues, right? We don't need to go to full recreational marijuana statewide tomorrow. We don't. But we are surrounded right now by states that are getting additional tax revenue from that and that have medical marijuana. We could find there is an area for compromise in Wisconsin. There is. If Ron Johnson can bring himself to author something like right to try legislation, then good Lord, we can find enough Republicans in the legislature who are willing to say, you know what, for the chronically ill, for the terminally ill, we can get those folks some relief and save them some suffering in their final days. We could do that. All that's missing is the will. And so my caution would be, we, the left, are in the majority and on a lot of the issues that we care about. That won't always be the case. And there are some issues in this country that we might, you know, disagree with the majority on. And it is possible to tip too far over into citizen legislating. And I would point to California as an example of that, where their ballot every single time, it's ridiculous, the number of these and how arcane they are. And it actually makes people more frustrated in their politics. I think what we ought to do is reward politicians who are willing to talk to people on the other side of the aisle in good faith, compromise where they don't see eye to eye, and get things done for people. And if the voters did a better job of rewarding that kind of behavior, you wouldn't have to resort to this type of measure, which I can understand the governor's frustration after 6 years where he knows the public's behind him, but he can't get around the blockade that is Robin Voss. Until the voters do something about it, or you find a different means of changing the way you get things done.
That's right. All right, we'll tackle the DPI race some other time because we have a primary to get through first. But for the state Supreme Court, now that we know it's just going to be Judge Crawford and former Attorney General Brad Schimel, how big, how nasty is this race about to become? What do you think folks should know about it as it really begins in earnest this week?
Very, very. And I'll get back to it, but I do want to say one thing about the DPI race, which is if you're watching this, read this book. If you're listening, it's The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt. This relates to the DPI race and what should be a major issue in it, which is cell phones in schools. It's not what the whole book is about, but there are school districts in Wisconsin that have banned cell phones during the days, and it is working. So I would like our DPI candidates to come up with a statewide strategy to get more school districts to do this. It will help our kids immeasurably. There's much more to do and much more that is laid out in that book that can be done, but check it out. I have been radicalized by this book in a good way. The Anxious Generation, Jonathan Haidt. Jonathan Haidt. To the Supreme Court race. This race will break records in terms of how much money is spent. The ads are coming, and they'll be pretty nasty. Brad Schimel was a not very good attorney general who let rape kits pile up untested so people were not brought to justice, and victims were forced to continually wonder whether they would ever see any justice. And I got to believe that that's coming to a TV screen near you. It's not a fun topic, but it's an important thing for voters to know that Brad Schimmel, as the state's top cop, failed in his duty to protect and left a mess for his successor to clean up at the Department of Justice. I don't know that that's what we need on the state's high court.
Yeah, and there will be many other issues that we will discuss in this race as well between now and April 1st, but now we know who exactly is going to be on the ballot. Joe Zepecki, as always, thank you very much, and have a great start to the weekend.
Take care, man.
Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Legislation unveiled Monday by the New Hampshire Senate would change the state's four presidential electoral votes from winner-take-all to proportional, based on which party wins its two congressional districts. Gerrymander the districts, and you guarantee more votes for your presidential candidate. Senate Bill 11 would have New Hampshire join Maine and Nebraska as the only states which have proportional electoral votes, and would apportion them based on which party wins Congressional District 1 or 2. In November, the state's congressional seats went to Democrats, Representative Chris Pappas and newcomer Maggie Goodlander, yet the state House, Senate, governorship, and governor's executive council all went red, in large part to gerrymandered voting districts. Gerrymandered, except the districts for Congress. A 2022 proposal by the New Hampshire House Election Law Committee radically gerrymandered the districts, guaranteeing the District 1 congressional seat for Republicans. So radical, in fact, that Republican governor and possible presidential candidate Chris Sununu surprised his own party by vetoing the map and proposing his own competitive map similar to that of previous decades. New Hampshire's incoming governor, former U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, may not have such competitive compulsions. With a Republican House and Senate behind her, a gerrymandered congressional district could be a twofer for Republicans, both in New Hampshire and in the presidential race. I'm Brian Beal.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Somewhere up a New York way, where the people are so gay, twisting the night away.
You never go wrong starting the morning off with a little Sam Cooke.
Never, ever, ever.
No. And it was on this day, 63 years ago, I did the math this time.
Good job.
That Sam Cooke on this day in 1962 released Twisting the Night Away. This is today's history lesson. For this January 9th, 2025, birthdays include the late Packer legend Bart Starr, who was born on this day in 1934. Singer Joan Baez is 84 years old today. Next are three birthdays. These folks all have a common theme, these next three. Let's start first with Bill Cowsill. Of, the Cowsills, who was born this day in 1948.
God, you guys were so happy in the 60s.
They were so happy. And they were happy in part because they're they were drugs, which is part of our common theme here. Bill Cowsill died at the age of 58. Cause of death being a rock and roll star. Next, also born this day in 1967, was Steve Harwell from Smash Mouth.
Yeah.
Who died at the age of 56, cause of death, being a rock and roll star. One more, A.J. McLean of the Backstreet Boys. He's still with us. He's 47 today, but he would probably be the first to tell you that it's amazing he's still alive and didn't die sometime in the past several years of being a rock and roll star. So, kids, if you ever get to be a rock and roll star, don't live the full lifestyle.
You don't need to. You just don't.
Now, I get the comeback. Keith Richards just turned, 81 years old? That's the exception.
And he cannot be killed by Western weapons.
No, he cannot. Here's another rock and roller still with us. Jimmy Page turns 81 today. Jimmy Page formed the Yardbirds and then a little group called Led Zeppelin.
He joined the Yardbirds.
Oh, it said formed here.
Yeah.
I blame Aaron Zommers. He put that together. So throw him right under the bus. That's what I get for outsourcing this.
He was the last guitar player to join the Yardbirds before they dissolved, and he now owns all of their rights.
Very nice.
First guitar player, Eric Clapton.
That makes sense.
Yep.
That makes total sense. Let's see. It was on this day. This was a big day in 2007. So 18 years ago today, Steve Jobs went on stage at the Macworld Expo in San Francisco and introduced Apple's latest invention, something called the iPhone, the first big time smartphone.
Yeah.
And I recall seeing that, and my reaction was kind of like the cartoon character where the jaw just drops to the floor and you go, "Want?" And life was never the same after that.
I had just gotten to Apple at that point, and I remember seeing that I watched that when it first came out. I was like, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. And then I think it was $4.99 for the 4 gig. I'm like, oh well, I guess I'm never gonna own this thing. And then just one day you're like, yeah, you're never gonna not be able to own it.
Right. No, it's ubiquitous now.
Yep.
With society pretty much. And look, for folks who are like, I like my Android or whatever, that's great. Great. I'm just saying that this was the one that was the game changer.
Yes.
Without a doubt. Another birthday, we're kind of getting away from the, dying of being a rock and roll star. At the other end of that spectrum, could you get more wholesome than Crystal Gayle, the younger sister of Loretta Lynn, who turns 74 today?
I always forget that fact.
Yeah. I just love the intro. It's so nice. And such a nice voice. Don't know when I've been so blue. There is one more birthday to share, and that would be Dave Matthews, who was born this day in 1967, making him 58 years old today. Here's where I get the old man card has to get played here. Look, everybody has their own style. I get that. But there's something about having a style versus all of your songs sound the same. And at some point, Dave Matthews crossed that line in my mind. And I know you could say that about a lot of other artists.
Yeah.
That's just where I am. That's where I am on Dave Matthews. I'm like, wait, I heard that song already.
Okay.
I know. Hey, look, so I'm sure somebody says that about Metallica, to which you would respond with.
Shut your mouth right
exactly.
Now. I will burn this whole world down.
Right. Right. It makes total sense. We mentioned earlier, but here's one more cut from Van Halen. They released their album 1984 on this day in 1984. That would be Panama, one of those songs I will still occasionally play and turn up to 11, as they say. This is International Choreographer's Day, so go plan yourself a dance. National Apricot Day. Law Enforcement Day, except those of you still celebrating the insurrection. You don't get to take part in this. Today is Word Nerd Day. And I salute every one of you as a fellow word nerd myself. It's like, wait, where did that word come from? Why do we spell this that way and not that way? And this is also Static Electricity Day. So go touch a doorknob. Walk around for a while. But not at the gas pump, please. I hope everybody knows. Touch your car first the gas pump before you pump the gas.
Okay, more advice from Pat. Just no more advice from Pat. Enjoy Word Nerd Day.
And from Tony, Tony's a little surprised to see DMB hate. It's not hate. I don't hate them. I will turn up some of the songs.
Okay.
Just not all of them. That's okay. Just me. Okay? Okay?
Are we all right. Cool? All right.
Are we all good?
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, next up for the Packers, they take on the Eagles. What are their chances heading into the playoffs? We talk to Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 11. Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another fire breaking out overnight in Southern California, this one in the hills above Hollywood. ABC's Matt Gutman with more.
The Sunset Fire, fueled by this week's historic wind event in Los Angeles, igniting in the hills just north of Hollywood Boulevard. Firefighters blasting water into this apartment, trying to protect it. A fleet of helicopters swirling over the fire, dropping water. Residents facing gridlock as they try to evacuate down the narrow streets of the Hollywood Hills.
2,000 structures have been destroyed and 5 people have lost their lives. And not good news for those in Los Angeles. Another round of those strong Santa Ana winds expected tonight into tomorrow. Former President Jimmy Carter's state funeral will be held this morning at the National Cathedral in Washington. More than 46,000 Palestinians have been killed in the Israel-Hamas war, that number from the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry. This is ABC News.